I just got to looking back, and when I was in the Lutheran Church, I found the Bible that I was given when I was in third grade, which is a Revised Standard Version. And then I found the hymnal that I was given when I graduated from high school, which I didn't even realize they don't have the names of the hymns in here. They just go according to, excuse me, I'm nervous, so please pray for me. They don't even have the names of the hymns. They just go according to their church year calendar. So, like, some is Holy Communion, some is Post-Communion, some is City, Nation, World, Repentance and Faith. And then I got to looking at some of the hymns, and I'm like, I actually know some of these hymns from the Lutheran Church, Crown You with Many Crowns, but they don't name the title of the hymn. It's just hymn number 431 under Adoration and Praise. And they do that all the way through here. I'm like, that's kind of spooky. So the thing I wanted to mention is that about the King James Bible, many of you probably know that a little bit about my testimony. I was saved in approximately 92 or 93. By the grace of God, I was saved in an ecumenical Bible Study Fellowship International. And I remember the night that I was going through Bible study, and it was about the different verses that talk about how Christ suffered. And for some reason, the one in Isaiah 56, where it talks about, different versions put it different ways, but where his hair was plucked from his face. And it sounds kind of weird, but I know different verses strike different people, you know, where God has you in that moment of time. And I just couldn't imagine a man's beard being plucked from his face, how painful that would be. And then it dawned on me, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I did that to him. And so I got, you know, down on my knees and cried and prayed, and I asked him for forgiveness. And then it still wasn't until after 9/11 when I really thought the world was coming to an end. And I was crying all the time, and my husband was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I was just afraid the world was coming to an end and that I was still headed for hell. And then I was talking to Cheryl one time, because I was still searching. I didn't want to go back to the Lutheran Church. I knew that wasn't the answer because it was just all tradition and just a bunch of rigmarole, and I got nothing out of it. And so she invited me to come here. And God bless you, Cheryl. Cheryl and Wayne have been so special to me because they were my disciples from early on. And it's amazing how, I mean, I have other sisters, but I'm closest to Cheryl because we're on the same page of faith. You know, that makes a huge difference. Anyways, I wanted to interject in here how the King James Bible, I think, is very important in the hymns. That's why I brought up the hymns, because so many of the hymns that are a blessing to us that are the old traditional hymns were written, you know, anywhere back from the 1400s to the, you know, early mid 1900s, when the King James Bible was the Bible being read. There's a poem I want to read here in the preface of, many of you probably read these stories of the hymn stories. The power of Christian song. There's something about a fine old hymn that can stir the heart of a man, that can reach to the goal of his inmost soul, such as no mere preaching can. It's more than the tune of the song he sings, and it's more than the poet's rhyme. It's the Spirit of God working through these things that gives them their power sublime. So we thank thee, Lord, for the fine old hymns. May we use them again and again as we seek to save from hopeless grave the souls of our fellow men. And I would really like to thank all the wise counsel from when I first started coming here, not only Wayne and Cheryl, but I hate to even mention names because there's so many of you that have helped me, but I know Brother Steve Lethard and Brother Steve Caravu and just so many of you, Brother Grissom, and of course Pastor, that taught me the truth. And I was so hungry when I first came here. I was buying all these Ruckman books, and my husband thought it was even more crazy then because he would look at these books and he's like, you know, the artwork he has sometimes, it's kind of scary to people who don't know anything, and it was scary to me, you know. And so he just, you know, proved to him that I was more crazy than he thought. So, but one of the things I wanted to mention was, and then I'll stop, was how it's not only important to get saved, but to grow and understand, because, I mean, I had no connection to the importance of the blood of Christ. When I first started coming here and I heard these songs that you were singing, like, saved by the blood of the crucified one, there is power in the blood, are you washed in the blood, nothing but the blood, I'm like, wow, they sure sing about the blood a lot, you know. And then, you know, things just puzzles came together and things started, you know, like, that makes so much sense. And it's not only because it's, you know, blood, it's God's blood. That, I mean, it doesn't make total sense then when you can put that all together, which I got nothing of that, you know, in the Lutheran church or even in the ecumenical Bible study, because they wouldn't come out and tell you how to get saved because they didn't want to offend anybody. So, you know. Let's see. And then there's just one more thing I wanted to bring up for this one song, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. I don't know if you read the story of it in here, but I found it interesting because it was actually written by this Augustus Toplady. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right or not, but he actually wrote some of the verses because he was, he was converted to Christ as a young boy of 16, but then eventually he got into Calvinism. And so he had like this battle between him and John Wesley. And so he said they would write back and forth on these pamphlets and sermons and public debates. And he said about John Wesley, I believe him to be the most rancorous hater of the gospel system that ever appeared in this island. Wesley is guilty of satanic shamelessness of uniting the sophistry of a Jesuit and the authority of a pope. And then Wesley wrote back this to him, I dare not speak of the deep things of God in the spirit of a prize fighter or a stage player, and I do not fight with chimney sweeps. I thought that was cool. But anyways, so then a lot of the verses that he wrote in this song, he meant to be as like rebuttal or satire against Wesley, but God turned it around and used it. And I just thought of the verse in Genesis 50:20. But as for you, he thought evil against me, when Joseph is speaking to his brothers. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And I'm sure that hymn has saved a lot of souls. So, sorry, I probably said too much. I just get excited when I talk about the Lord and the Bible. You just have to